It's member supported Hawaii Public Radio, and all things considered, I'm Dave Lawrence. Thrilled to be back in our Atherton, believe it or not. It's the first time we've done one of these for the show since the pandemic, so it's great to do it with a band that I gotta believe they've been part of your life, whether you knew it or not, because some of their songs have been in movies, have been on the radio for so long, since maybe before you were born.
I just wanna make love to you.
Foghat. Now, they came back through town for shows in the islands, and original Foghat member, drummer Roger Earl, no stranger to the show. He was on before several years back. He has returned and was cool enough as part of their return to Hawaii to actually come and join us here in our Atherton recording studio. So just a huge aloha, mahalo, and welcome, Brother Roger.
It's nice to be here. I was told there was going to be a bunch of wine. That's why I turned up. And a piano, which we will make some noise on later. I'm not really a piano player, but see, the piano is in fact a percussive instrument. So I'll make some noise on that.
That's right.
How you doing, Dave?
It's just great to have you here, dude. I've been riffing on Foghat. I kind of had it in my head now since you were on the phone and then coming through town. But you have a brother who we never talked about before. Colin Earl, your brother, he was the piano player for that band that had In the Summertime, Mungo Jerry.
In the summertime, da-da-da-da-da. Actually, the lead singer, Ray Dorsett, was a singer in the very first band I was in when I was 16.
Wow.
The Tramps in Southwest London.
Starting then, and what got you into stuff? Because thinking about your brother in that era, it was before that. How did you end up getting the interest in music to begin?
Well, my parents, mom and dad, came from the East End of London. If anybody's familiar with the East End of London, there's always a party going on. There's always music. They're always making something. Dad played piano somewhat in the side, I guess, of like Fats Waller. That wasn't his day job. His day job, he worked at Aston Martin's, at their old factory in Feltham. But Dad loved to play the piano. Any excuse to have a sing-song in the house. Mum used to sing as well. Anytime anybody had a birthday or any of the aunts and uncles came over, there was always music. And Dad actually brought home a Jerry Lee Lewis record. I think it might have been a whole lot of shaking going on, but the B-side was called Mean Woman Blues. And I remember him saying to me, "Yeah, have a listen to this boy, son. He can really play the Joanna." I mean, about 3 months later, I was 14, I think, something like that. Dad took me to see Jerry Lee Lewis at a theater in Southwest London. I was never the same. My mother claimed it addled my brain. I'm not sure what an addled brain is, but it did have a very profound effect on me. I'd been taking drum lessons for about a year or two.
What got that started?
My brother played piano, Dad played the piano, and drums are louder. I just gravitated to it. I was always banging on stuff, ruined all Mum's good china. Lampshades were a symbol, of course.
We have a piano in here. Do you remember anything that your dad, is there a specific thing your dad would play?
Yeah. Dad played like stuff like Fats Waller, Honeysuckle Rolls. Okay. But I learned to play some things in the key of C.
He goes to the piano for us.
Well, that's because
that's the answer to the question. That shows where it was coming from. I actually played drums when I was a kid.
I knew you were okay.
Who are the drummers then that are inspiring your work?
I would just listen to records. When I was 15, I bought my first drum kit.
Okay.
Black Premier kit. I worked 3 days a week after school, saved up my money. I worked Saturday mornings in a bakery, and I would go for my drum lessons in the afternoon. We only had a small semi-detached house, and we set it up in the same room that we would have our breakfast and dinner at. And I started playing, and my mum said, oh, that'll never do.
Exactly.
You can't have this. So they gave me his woodworking shop, and they soundproofed it. We put egg boxes up and all sorts of stuff. And I started in there, and I would go in there after school. Mum would unplug me around 8:30, 9 o'clock. I would listen to records. I had a Grundy tape player. Actually, it was my brother, Colin's Grundy tape player, and recorded a whole bunch of stuff, mostly Chuck Berry and some blues stuff. That's what I was listening to initially. Actually, the first real record that moved me was Muddy Waters Live at Newport, 1960. I think I bought it when I was 1961 or 62, somewhere around there. Francis Clay was the drummer on that record. I listened to Little Richard's drummer. It was absolutely incredible, Earl Palmer.
Of your peers, John Bonham and Cozy Powell were two of my very, very favorites.
Yeah, I met both of them at Cozy a number of times. Bonzo was somebody who I did actually hang out with. Back in 1969, when I was in Savoy Brown, we did a number of shows with Zeppelin. Zeppelin and two other bands were on. We were doing a sound check. There was me, Clive Bunker, and Bonzo. I think either Kim Simmons or Jimmy Page were playing guitar. So it was three drummers and a guitar player. And there was also a violinist. We were just jamming. And the only one drums you could hear was Bonzo. He was a monster. And I got to hang out with him a number of times. One time we were in Manhattan, we were out having a few drinks, and he had a couple of Heineken bottles, and he was doing drum solos on the table. Didn't break the bottles, but it was like, to watch it the way he played with a couple of Heineken bottles. They were empty, of course, he drank the beer.
So there's a thing that in the couple of years, a couple of times rather, that I've talked to you, we've never really gotten into this, but the late 70s, there is a benefit concert that is scheduled to happen at the Palladium for the Rodgers and Hammerstein Library of Recorded Music at the New York Public Library. And so what happens then is in this show, Foghat, Muddy Waters, John Lee Hooker, Johnny Winter, Pine Top Perkins, a lot of heavy, heavy cats. How did this first get introduced to you guys as a concept or to be involved in it? And walk me through it arriving in Foghat's lap.
It was around the time we were doing the Stone Blue album. And our publicist was talking about what he could do to help sort of promote the record. I believe they maybe brought this up. Lonesome Dave was a huge fan of the blues. He had thousands of records of blues music. Dave was the one who would play stuff on the bus. He was like the DJ back when we had sort of tapes. He would record stuff. You want to have a blues evening this evening, or you want to listen to so and so. But Dave was like the heart and soul of Foghat as far as writing, and his influence came from blues music. That's what it was all about. Muddy Waters, John Lee Hooker. That's the music I loved. You know, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis. Certainly, you know, Savoy Brown and Foghat didn't copy those musics, but they used it as an influence. Mm. That was their inspiration.
You went a step further in this kind of concert where you guys are on stage. Like, you talk about Dave's love of these artists. I was watching one of these clips on YouTube, and folks can look for this. Just look up Foghat Blues Tribute on YouTube. There's a truncated version of what was a three-hour show. But to see Dave's, like, Muddy Waters is up there at the mic, and he's playing. And Dave, the look on Dave's face.
We're playing with our musical heroes.
Exactly.
It was something else.
Let's hear some of that blues tribute concert now, featuring Muddy Waters and Foghat's Lonesome Dave. And tomorrow, we'll share more with our guest, Foghat's Roger Earl. I'm Dave Lawrence.